You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Got a good one today. Mark Schofield joining me from USA Today's Touchdown Wire. One of his latest, a fantastic article, Why Trey Lance Might Start for the 49ers Sooner Than You Think. A detailed article from Mark, not only showing his talents and why he could play early, but we'll talk about what he could become in the 49ers offense. This episode brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You will get 15% off your next order. Joining me today is Mark Schofield. You might have remembered him from some Patriots coverage here on the network a while back. Now you can find all of his work at Touchdown Wire at USA Today, touchdownwire.usatoday.com, and on Twitter at Mark Schofield. He recently wrote an awesome piece at Touchdown Wire about one of the newest 49ers, quarterback Trey Lance, the number 3 overall pick in the NFL draft, and why maybe he could be ready sooner than a lot of us think. Maybe sooner than Jed York thinks, with Jed York talking about, hey, it might be 2 years with this guy before he's ready to play. So welcome, Mark, to the show. Appreciate you. I know you're in high demand today because we were just talking to you. A lot of people want to chat at you when you write something this thorough, and this is fantastic stuff. Really appreciate it.
Well, Brian, thanks for having me, man. This is always a fun time of year. You know, the run-up to the draft is interesting, but now we actually get landing spots, we get scheme fits, we can actually talk about what rosters will actually look like rather than speculate what they'll look like. So May and June are perhaps my two favorite months of the NFL season because you start piecing together what teams will look like and what they'll be running in the fall, and it's a really fun time to think about the game.
I remember watching a video a few months back with you and Matt Waldman, I think it was, right? And you guys really liked Trey Lance a lot. And I was kind of blown away by some of the things you showed in that video, and I think that continued. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like you like the landing spot for Trey Lance here with the 49ers.
I absolutely love it, Brian. And, you know, Matt and I got together last summer to watch – you know, Trevor Lawrence, we watched Trey Lance, we watched Justin Fields. And I said at the end of that show, Matt and I, whenever we do these film room episodes, we spend about an hour or so breaking the player down. And then the last like 15 minutes or so talking about potential scheme fits and landing spots. And Matt and I both agreed. We were like, man, he could run Kyle Shanahan's offense right now. He could run it right now. And this was last summer. And so, yeah, I absolutely love this landing spot. I think there are a lot of reasons why, whether it's myself, whether it's Seth Galita. You know, I know Seth tweeted and wrote an article over PFF about how, you know, this Trey Lance landing spot in San Francisco is ideal because there's schematic familiarity, there's terminology that he's going to be familiar with, the sort of conceptual underpinnings of NDSU's offense, play action, throw to the fullback, throw to the tight end. That's what Shanahan's asking his quarterbacks to do. And so for so many reasons, Brian, I absolutely love this landing spot.
Looking at North Dakota State's offense, and I love that he wore the T-shirt that said QBU at the North Dakota State Pro Day. It's fantastic. And they have been putting quarterbacks into the league, which is awesome for an FCS school. And they obviously coach their quarterbacks up well. And I think a lot of college programs don't coach their quarterbacks up well as far as the NFL game goes. Because, like, look, whoever it is, Ohio State, they're trying to win college football games. They don't care about developing your quarterback for the NFL. They're trying to get their guy ready to play because they know he's going to leave in 2 years, and they've got to get him looking at the sideline, clapping his hands, and get the play started because they want to win now, and they want to get that going. And they put a lot more on their quarterbacks at North Dakota State. Is that one of the big reasons why you think he might be able to play early, because he started doing some things a couple years ago as a 19-year-old that some quarterbacks still haven't had a chance to do, like call plays in the huddle and call their own protections in the NFL?
Absolutely, Brian. And, you know, a lot of this, you could see some of it on film, but it's really sort of set forth. My colleague at USA Today, Doug Farrar, he sat down with Randy Hedberg, the NDSU quarterbacks coach. He also played quarterback in the NFL with Tampa Bay and some other teams. And this was prior to Trey Lance's first pro day. Doug asked him a ton of questions about what Lance was asked to do with the line of scrimmage, what made him pro ready. And Randy pointed out a bunch of things. First, the kill versus the maybe system, the kill call, the maybe calls. That's part of Shanahan's offense. You know, Shanahan runs a lot of what he calls the can it with system, right? Where you've got two play calls. you call both of them in the huddle. You get to the line of scrimmage. You're basically running one or the other, depending on what you're seeing from the defense. That's stuff that Trey Lance was doing. Setting protections, getting in and out of plays. For example, Brian, a lot of people question how well did NDSU really trust Trey Lance? After all, he ran it like 30 times against James Madison in that, you know, national championship game. Well, Randy pointed out those were audibles. Those were checks. He was getting out of passing plays because of blitz looks, because of pressure looks, and checking to runs. And so this idea that they didn't trust him, if anything, they trusted him a ton because he was getting them out of passing plays to run the football. And in his first start against Butler, people might remember he had a 50-yard touchdown run. That was an audible. They had a pass and play called. He checked to a quarterback run and then houses it for 50 yards. And as Randy told Doug, and I'm telling you guys relaying it, this was stuff that Easton Stick was doing as a senior, that Carson Wentz was doing as a senior. Lance was doing it as a redshirt freshman in his first start. So they trusted him with their entire playbook and all the stuff they put on the quarterback's plate from day one. Now, obviously, yeah, there will be adjustments in learning curves, and doing it against Butler on a Saturday is a lot different than doing it against Bill Belichick's Patriots on a Sunday, and I get all that. But the idea that he's going to need like two developmental years or a year and a half or something, I think he's sooner along than people give him credit for.
And for those listeners who don't know, Mark actually played a little college football too, right? And you played some quarterback. I forget the way you term it. You were the
worst quarterback in all of college football, Brian. And I have no qualms. I'm not ashamed to admit that because, look, started off, I played at the Division III level. The Division III, like, non-scholarship, New England Small College Athletic Conference, okay? So it wasn't the best football to begin with. It's still college football, and, yeah, there's something to that. But I was also a backup. And so when you're, like, the backup at one of these schools, you're pretty much in the, like, bottom tier of all college quarterbacks. And then – on top of it, I actually last fall calculated my adjusted net yards per attempt over my college career. And Brian, did you know that could be a negative number? I didn't know that could be a negative number, but mine was, which tells you just how bad I was as a quarterback.
But that's a blessing because bad quarterbacks make amazing coaches and analysts. And I don't know what it is. You have to use your noggin more than you have to use your arm strength.
I think it's two things, Brian. One, you're right. Like, I wasn't getting by on arm strength. Okay. Like, I was recruited to Wesley to run the flex bone triple option. And after our freshman year, we changed to a more like vertical based pass and offense. And they were just like, well, why don't we try you at wide receiver for a year? Because you clearly can't run this offense. And then, you know, we had some guys leave. We had some guys leave the program, guys transferred. So I had to move back to QB anyway, which tells you how well the wide receiver experiment went. But, you know, so I wasn't getting by with the athletic talent. It was all in the mind. But the other thing that I like to tell people is this. I know exactly what you can't do as a quarterback. Right? Because that's what I was doing. Like, I know what you can't do. So I have a good idea of what doesn't work. And I've seen up close what actually can work. My buddy Jake Fay, who's on Twitter, he's a realtor now, but he was the guy who was backing up who was a year behind me. And Jake was a great quarterback. So I know what it takes to be a good quarterback. I know what you can't do as a quarterback. And I know how you have to kind of win with your mind. So, I mean, it's that, you know, like triumvirate of like things coming together that have allowed me to sort of talk about the position pretty well.
I didn't know you were a dual threat guy, too. You had the athleticism to go with it. That's fantastic. It's funny because I've had JT O'Sullivan on the podcast.
Oh, I love JT.
Awesome job. Yeah, the
I love JT.
School, YouTube channel is awesome. It's so much fun. And it's funny to hear him talk about when he was backing up Brett Favre. And Brett Favre is not a great football analyst. In fact, I don't really ever turn on Brett Favre when I see him saying anything because, you know, he's just like he had this arm talent that he could do things differently and think about the game differently. And it's funny to hear the stories of JT O'Sullivan asking Brett Favre, like, well, what about this progression? What about this? And he's like, 1, 2, 3, put it on him. And I just think it's so funny because Brett Favre can make throws and made some boneheads throws too, but he could just do things that other guys can't. And JT O'Sullivan had to work at it. And it's pretty clear that he put in a lot of work behind the scenes.
I mean, JT's YouTube channel, it's like one of the few I've actually subscribed to. You know, he did a video on understanding pass protections from a quarterback's to interview. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a bookmarked thing for me. I mean, JT's work is just fantastic. He's one of those people sort of in this space that like he puts something up. I drop what I'm doing and watch it. I mean, I'm just a huge, huge fan of JT's.
More with Mark Schofield of USA Today's Touchdown Wire. How much can a quarterback improve their accuracy at the NFL level? Next. Hey, NFL fans, listen up. Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231-231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofit, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. And if you're over 40, don't let age get in the way. Get your edge back with Nugenix. Text the word DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. Now that the NFL draft is over, you can go find win totals at betonline.ag. How did teams improve? Do you think a certain team's chances to win the Super Bowl next year have changed? Win some money on it at betonline.ag. They've also got some fresh odds on Offensive Rookie of the Year. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, second, tied with Trey Lance. Kind of like Zach Wilson at 7-1. Kyle Pitts, 11-1 on the defensive side for Rookie of the Year next season. Micah Parsons leads that at 4-1. Jalen Phillips, 7-1. J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain at 10-1, along with Zaven Collins and the second rounder, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, one of the steals of the draft, in my opinion, 12-1 odds. NBA, NHL, Major League, baseball, table games, poker. All you got to do to get involved in the action is head to the website at betonline.ag or the mobile app. Use promo code LOCKEDON when signing up to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You mentioned the pre-snap stuff with Trey Lance, and that might be where he's ahead, and he's had a chance this entire calendar year to work on a lot of things off the field and work out and work with coaches, and he's gotten into some NFL playbooks, and I love hearing some of those stories, but at some point you got to play football. And the way you have this article broken down, what does Lance actually offer you as a passer? Because he only attempted 18 throws per game and his numbers were pretty solid, but and he has obvious talents and arm strength and all of those types of things, but how much as just a pure thrower and a passer? And the one question I have about him is just pure accuracy and not so much completion percentage. I think it was 66-67% in 2019 in his full year starting, which is solid and it's fine. Some other quarterbacks in college football now are throwing 70% or completing 70% of their passes, which is crazy. But the pinpoint accuracy stuff, and in Kyle Shanahan's offense, you got to have guys running after the catch and throw the ball to the right shoulder, and yep, you can't have balls hitting the ground, and obviously you don't want to throw the ball to the other team, which he did not do. But I did see some, you know, you look at his completion percentage and his interception rate, you think, oh, this guy must have been a pinpoint accurate passer, but he really wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't. And that's going to be a work in progress for him. But I do think there are two things to look at when it comes to his ball placement. The first is a structural mechanical issue. His arm slot was very inconsistent while he was at North Dakota State. Now, thankfully, he's got Quincy Avery in his corner. Quincy's been working on that arm slot. You see his two pro days. You see the workout videos. You see some of the stuff that's coming out. That arm slot is much more consistent now than it ever was while he was playing at NDSU. And so I think that mechanical issue is working itself out. And the other thing is this, a lot of the throws where you need the ball on the right shoulder, you need the ball put on the right hip, that's a feel thing. And you could see him on some throws. You know, I always reference one. There's a seam route he's throwing up to the left side to the tight end, and he knows the middle of the field safety is lurking. So he tries to put it on that back shoulder to protect his tight end, and he misses behind him. That's just a feel thing. It's like, you know, if you're playing golf and you hit a great drive and you're like wondering about the distance on the next chip, it's like, no, that's, you don't need a yardage marker. It's just the feel for it. And it's something that you got to sort of get right over time with reps. And so I think the mechanical consistency is coming, but he's going to need reps. He's going to need reps to get a feel for layering in throws and ball placement in the middle of the field and working throws in those underneath zones. That's going to come with reps and time. And that's one of the reasons why I think you want to get him out there. You know, you want to get him out there and sort of live through some of the bumps and the learning curves and things like that, because he needs those reps, because he's had, you know, not a ton of experience, but the talent is there. But he needs those reps to sort some of this stuff out, some of that feel out for the position.
That's an important factor, because if he sits this year, he'll have 2.5 calendar years where he's only played one FCS football game. And yep. That's probably not ideal. And if, you know, Jed York, which I think it's a positive for just how much Jed York trusts his guys and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, that he would say that he's okay with, and it sounds good on paper now, but in practice, right, in real time, the NFL moves very quickly, and 2 years of him not playing, I think, would be a bad thing and a bad sign. But you can't go 3 years with him not playing a football game. I don't think that's great for somebody's development. I'm sure there's a ton he's going to learn in practice, and he'll maybe get more reps than a normal backup. But these days, with how much practice time they have and how little actually hitting and game speed you do in practices, I got to believe he's got to see the field at some point. And I put the over-under at week 8 for him starting football games with the 49ers. It's going to be harder and harder as the season goes on if the 49ers are in a playoff hunt to sit Jimmy Garoppolo, because that'll mean he's probably playing pretty well if he's healthy, and plug in your rookie. So that it gets very dicey and a little bit difficult. If you were in charge and you just had to sort of sketch out a plan where you would think, okay, this would make sense for me if I was developing this young raw quarterback, how I would want to start working him into NFL games.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you look at last year, the Miami Dolphins, right? And it's clear that the Dolphins had a plan for when they were going to bring Tua on. It was after their bye week, because they had started to win some games. Ryan Fitzpatrick had them moving in the right direction. And suddenly it's the bye week. They're sitting them down and everybody's wondering what's happening here. They're on the cusp of a playoff hunt. But it's clear that they had that plan in place. They were like, we're going to start Fitzpatrick. We're going to take that bye week, the opportunity to give Tua 2 weeks to get ready to go. And then we're going to start him and see what happens. That could be the scenario. We're going to get the schedule next week, right? Next Wednesday, I believe, is when they release the schedules. Wherever their bye week is, you might see, like, that's okay. That's what we're going to aim for. That's sort of our conservative estimate of when we're going to get Trey Lance on the field. But I think this is a different year, because we're going to actually probably have some preseason games, right? And so you might get an opportunity to get him a lot of reps in the preseason. I would err on the side of getting him out on the field earlier. You know, I think you look at Miami last year, and they started them in the midst of that, and then there were some struggles, and they had to sit them down. And I would want them out there sooner rather than later, but also anticipate having to sit him at some times. You know, I think back to how Marty Schottenheimer handled Drew Brees, and there were some times when they were getting blown out, and he said, look, I'm going to sit you down. If this was a 3-point game, your butt's still out there, but I'm going to sit you down. That was the thing I think that Brian Flores struggled with last year. He sat Tua down in some one-score games. I think you sort of let him try to work through that. If you're losing 35-0, then fine, like, sit Trey Lance down. But if it's a 21-17 game in the fourth quarter, see what the kid can do. See if the kid can sort of pull it out. See if the kid can get a win, because that would be huge for the team. That would be huge for his development. And so it's going to be a tough thing, like you said, Brian, to sort of strike that balance between doing what's best for the team and doing what's best for Trey Lance long term. But if it were me, I'd set a conservative date, maybe that bye week, but err on the side of getting him on the field sooner rather than later.
Another aspect of his ability, obviously, is running the ball. And he did that a lot in college. And to me, when I looked at Trey Lance and I looked at Justin Fields, and there was all the talk about what the 49ers were going to do at number three, and everyone's like, oh, well, Mac Jones is the most pro ready. And I saw Lance and Fields as guys that had a pretty high floor too, because of not only their arm strength, but their athleticism. And I feel like Kyle Shanahan, with what we saw with RG3, and I like all those guys as better passers than RG3 was coming out. RG3 had a great arm, but I would take Trey Lance. I would take Justin Fields over RG3. In a heartbeat, even coming out, just because of the type of throwers they are and the type of offenses they played in. And, you know, it's not like the Baylor offense translated to the NFL either. Right. But Kyle Shanahan can draw up some stuff that would be a problem for NFL defenses, just based on, look, you've got to cover a lot of grass with this athletic quarterback, and he's got the arm strength that you've got to, and he can throw the ball, you know, and he's got a nice clean release. He can dime one over your head too, so you got to be careful for that. So just how much grass you have to cover. I feel like early in his career, even he's not quite ready, Kyle Shanahan can draw up an offense that would be tough to defend against.
Absolutely. And last year when we saw Tua, we saw Burrow, we saw Herbert, I wrote something to the effect of quarterbacks now need two things to be able to play well early. They need to be able to throw against leverage. And what I mean by that is I don't need you to tell me the difference between stubby or stump or all the various coverages that are out there. Just see the nearest defender and put the football away from him. If you could do that, you're going to be okay while you figure that piece of it out. But you also need to have some athleticism. Now, you don't need to be a super athlete, but you need to be athletic enough to extend plays, number one, because that's going to give you more time. And if you have that ability to stress a defense with your legs, you are going to start breaking down defensive coverages in the secondary before you even throw the football. And let's think about it this way, Brian. We all know Shanahan offense, outside zone, wide zone, boot action off of it, roll the quarterback out, press the edge of the defense. It's one thing when it's a Matt Ryan or Jimmy Garoppolo or even a hypothetical Mac Jones doing that. But if you're that flat defender, a corner or a linebacker or something, you see Trey Lance rolling towards you, what are you going to do? You're going to naturally want to come downhill, right? Because you're worried about Trey Lance as a runner. Like, you know what he can do with his legs. You do that, that's going to create bigger throwing windows behind you. Or even if you're a safety, you see Trey Lance rolling around, you might think, oh, man, I got to get downhill because he can make that guy in the flat that's subtly worried. He can make him miss. I got to come downhill and make a tackle. You let that post route go behind you, and that's something Trey Lance can hit on the run with ease. And so his athleticism and what Kyle Shanahan can do as a result of that is going to just artificially break down defensive coverages even before he throws the football. And so he doesn't have to read coverages. He doesn't have to manipulate defenders with his eyes and look safeties off right away. He can just pretend he's going to run. He can threaten you with the run. That's going to break down coverages and open up some huge throwing lanes that, again, he won't have to break you down with his mind. He could do it with his legs before the ball comes out of his hand.
Coming up, we'll finish our conversation with Mark about Trey Lance, talk a little bit about Jimmy G, and if everything hits right, what could Trey Lance become in the NFL? Raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter, just some of the flavors you can find at BuiltBar.com, a high protein, low sugar, low calorie snack you can feel good about and taste fantastic. No skimping on flavor when it comes to Built Bars. They're the best tasting protein bar on the market, but they are healthy too, which is exactly what I have a feeling you're looking for. And if you're not sure exactly which flavor to try, or you haven't tried them all and you just want more flavors, build yourself a box of Built Bars, or maybe find one of their limited edition flavors that can pop up at any time. Many bars have only 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs, even good for a keto diet. And best of all, you can save 15% using promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Just go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. I mentioned RG3 a second ago, and I think there's a lot of comparisons of Trey Lance to Josh Allen. There's Colin Kaepernick comparisons because of the 49ers connection there, and I think Cap probably has more miles per hour in his arm, but it's interesting that I saw a stat that Josh Allen actually has more rushing touchdowns than Lamar Jackson. And, you know, that red zone offense, that QB power, and they've bulked up on the offensive line as well. I think that could be a staple of the 49ers offense to come with Trey Lance in there as well. But after he does finally start to play and he gets into his, you know, third, fourth, fifth year, whatever, and you allow yourself to dream, what could Trey Lance be to you? Where is he actually physically? Where does that arm rank with some of these top guys that he gets compared to a lot?
You know, when we were watching him last summer, Matt Walden put out a comparison that I think is obviously lofty, and it's especially lofty when you know how Matt feels about this player whose name I'm about to mention, but Steve McNair. And Matt loved Steve McNair. And I think that's what you could see on the high end of outcomes from Trey Lance, because you see the throw in motion and it's very similar. You see the arm talent and the velocity and it's very similar. You see the athleticism with how Steve McNair could run people over in the open field, and Trey Lance could do that as well. And now I wouldn't recommend that Trey Lance start running NFL linebackers over. Yeah. He's going to need to learn to slide and things like that. He could do it. Like, he's a very powerful young man, a very powerful athlete. But that's, you know, when I close my eyes and start to dream about what Trey Lance could be in the NFL, that's where I go. I go to Steve McNair. I go to, you know, what he was able to do in the National Football League and, you know, the talent that he was. And that's where, you know, I think if he sort of year two, year three, year four starts looking like it all comes together, I think it's going to look a lot like that.
Where are you on Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't know the last time you put him on and actually studied him a little bit. Were you surprised that the 49ers had the urgency to move all the way up to number three to draft their quarterback with Justin Fields in the draft and Mac Jones in the draft and having Jimmy Garoppolo already on the roster? Like, how do you feel about Garoppolo first? And do you think that would play a huge part in this thing with, even if Trey Lance you think might be able to get on the field early, Garoppolo's a pretty good player and they have been to a Super Bowl with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good quarterback, but I think what's happened over the past, say, 2 years is that the 49ers have come to the decision that Garoppolo is that guy you can win with, but he's never going to be the guy you win because of. He's never going to be the guy that says, all right, guys, get on my back. Here we go. I'm carrying us to a victory in this game. He's just not that player. He's the sort of quarterback purgatory type of guy in that Andy Dalton tier. I think they hope that they could get him to that guy that you win games because of, but it just never came together. And so they took the opportunity where they really like their roster, obviously, you know, to make this kind of move. It's a move that says we're one piece away and that one piece is the quarterback, but we just need the guy that, okay, it's nice that we have a guy that we can win games with, but we want that guy that can transcend our system, that we can, that can become the guy that we win games because of. And we think that Trey Lance, and I would put Justin Fields too in that idea in San Francisco, but they wanted to get that guy that can win games because of. Garoppolo, I do think, is a very serviceable, good NFL quarterback. And on a lot of teams right now, he might be the starting quarterback. But I think they realized that their offense had sort of plateaued under him. And to get to where they wanted to be, they needed somebody to unlock what they could still be as an offense conceptually and schematically. Lance can be that player far more than I think Garoppolo can be.
Obviously, the fit is great. Trey Lance going to the 49ers, and I think all those quarterbacks in the draft were probably hoping they would go number three to the 49ers. It's a pretty good landing spot for normally a quarterback that would be going number three, be going to a much worse situation, you know, in a who knows coaching staff and a bad team. And this is a good team with Super Bowl aspirations. You get to walk in and there's no pressure for you to start right away because there's already a quarterback in place who seems to be cool with maybe helping you out a little bit. And it seems like that's a good relationship. So, you know, that's awesome for 49ers fans to see with Jimmy Garoppolo reaching out, one of the first guys to reach out to Trey Lance. So good situation there. Just looking at the draft and some of the other evaluations you did on some of these quarterbacks, do you have another favorite fit with the team and the player? You mentioned Justin Fields there. What do you think about Fields to Chicago, Mac Jones to the Patriots? Those are the quarterbacks that Trey Lance got compared to a lot. And then obviously the Shanahan offense making its way east to the New York Jets with Zach Wilson.
You know, generally speaking, Brian, I like sort of where all these quarterbacks landed. I mean, I do think that Trevor Lawrence will be in a good situation because Urban Meyer has shown, you know, over his time in Florida and then in Ohio State, the willingness to sort of craft his offense to the quarterback. I mean, even dating back to his days, you know, with Alex Smith at Utah, you know, he ran a spread offense and got Alex Smith drafted first overall. And so I think Trevor Lawrence is in a good spot. You mentioned sort of that Shanahan offense under, you know, Mike LaFleur now in New York with the Jets. That's a great fit for Zach Wilson. We saw Zach Wilson take that huge leap in production from his sophomore year to his junior year because of that kind of offensive system. So I think the fit there makes sense. Mac Jones going to the New England Patriots. It's an interesting fit in that a lot of people have said, oh, well, Mac Jones is a perfect scheme fit for what they were like under Brady. And I think, you know, stylistically, perhaps, Alabama ran a lot more RPOs last year than anything else. And so, you know, the idea that it's this easy one-to-one fit, I don't think is exactly right. But I do think that what Mac Jones does well, decision-making, generally speaking, accuracy, the short area, that's a fit for where the Patriots traditionally want to be as an offense. So I think that part of it is a nice fit. And then, look, I really liked Justin Fields as a prospect. And I do think that a lot of that offense, they just needed somebody that sort of can, similar to this discussion with the 49ers, take that offense to new heights. Mitchell Trubisky just wasn't the answer there long term. Fields and his athleticism, as well as some of the stuff that he does from option routes and reads and things like that, I do think will be a good fit in Chicago. So, look, these top five guys, I do like where they all ended up. You know, you could say, look, take Lance and put him in that Jets offense. It'd be great. Yeah, sure. But I think given that we have these five landing spots, I think all five of these quarterbacks are in good situations going forward.
Fantastic stuff. That is Mark Schofield. You can find him on Twitter at Mark Schofield and all of his work and a fine crew of folks doing good things over there. Doug and everybody at touchdownwire.usatoday.com. Mark, I really appreciate it. I know you've been in high demand today, so thanks for fitting me in.
Brian, thanks so much for having me. Always a blast to chat with you. Always great to catch up, buddy.
Thanks again to Mark, and I can't recommend that article and all of his work enough. Go check it out at touchdownwire.usatoday.com. I'll also link it on my Twitter at BDPeacock. Get your questions in to me as we roll through this week. I'm going to dive deeper into some of the newest draftees for the 49ers. Of course, another Winky Wednesday coming up this week right here, Locked On 49ers.